ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now here we go, second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's just a family affair today. It's just a cast of thousands in and out and around the show. I mean,
Raheel Ramzanali.
We didn't even mention his name. Did we mention his name today?
We did not.
We normally the protocol
well,
is...
Well, you did. You did, actually.
I did?
You did.
About what?
Sports map.
You mentioned his name about...
Well,
actually, it was in the last segment you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't do it about sports map.
It was like quickly.
You know what I did? So, yes, you've lived up to billing, even when you didn't hear your name. I said, because we were talking about Stephen A. Smith, and Stephen A. Smith supposedly, I got a text today from a friend of mine listening to his show on the way out of town, said that he had Tim Legler on a phone line on his radio show, and Stephen A. dropped. But evidently, for some reason, I'm not sure how technically this works, Legler thought he dropped, but essentially the station dropped, but Legler's phone was still live going over the air, and Legler ended up cussing. And I believe the dialogue was some like towards his wife, because his wife's like, what happened? Why are you upset? And he was like, this effing phone dropped and I've had it for 16 years and blah, blah. So we're looking for it and trying to get it. But I was like, Stephen A has been on a roll lately of saying the wrong names and information for players. And I was telling Nick and Tyler the story about earlier this week, he did it again. He called Montrez Sweat, the defensive lineman that was drafted by the Redskins, Montrez Sweat to the general manager of the Redskins. And I was like, well, some people do it mistakenly and it can happen once in a while. Barry Warner did it because he just was lazy and didn't care. And I said, Nick and Raheel were the two names that he would just throw any random set of vowels and consonants together and say that was your last name.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I heard you guys talking about me. I just felt it in the Raheel Spidey sense.
But Stephen A is getting corrected on the air, right?
Raheel, I love Stephen A. He always looks like a guy that went to a restaurant and they brought the wrong order out. His like facial expression always looks like, I said no cheese.
I never thought of that.
Isn't it just as simple as saying he looks like someone peed in his Cheerios? Like every day he looks like something's made him crotchety.
Yes, but it's more of that like baffled look of, this is why I told you to write it down. You know when the waiter comes in and tries to flex on you, he's like, there's seven people, and he'll just go, all right, well, what would you like to have? And then he doesn't write it down. And then, of course, the order comes out wrong.
Right.
Stephen A. Smith looks like me when I go to a place and I'm just like, what? It was so simple. All you have to do is write it down. You don't have to show off that you have great memory.
Now that you mentioned it, he does really kind of look like a guy that ordered a steak well done and then it just, you know, it was too pink. You know, like it was too bloody for him or something.
And he just has that baffled look like.
Well, you know, like, so yesterday he was, before game two, he had been flown out to Oakland. And on both his show and Get Up, he made sure the first thing out of his mouth when they threw him an NBA question was, I mean, I look good. I mean, look at this, right? I look good today, right? I mean, so good. And he did it on two shows in a row. And I'll tell you that I say that to say this. So the media dining area that you guys both know at Toyota Center is also the Rockets employee lunchroom
right
during the day. He was there covering, he had to do the interviews with the players prior to a national TV game. So he was in one of the dressing rooms down the hall. He comes in, and it's just the Rocket staff and whoever, and building employees that are eating. Full suit on, just posing, stopping and like glaring at the entire room and wanting everybody to be like, almost announcing his presence like, I'm here, go ahead, I look good. I mean, he was just staring at the whole room. And the people in the lunchroom were just like, what's he doing?
He don't care.
Some days you feel...
He doesn't care.
Some days you just want to flex and look good.
And I would actually...
Yesterday, after we finished shooting our video, which, by the way, is going to be on sportsmap.com,
yep.
Joel and Raheel break down the Rockets-Warriors series.
Right.
Make sure you watch it.
Y'all are doing more of these roundtables for Sportsmap now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was fun. But afterwards, I was like, you know what? I feel pretty good in this new jacket that I have.
My nice jacket.
Hair was looking nice.
The problem
Joel
is,
only though, made fun of me for, like, he made one joke at me. I was like, that's what I know is legit. Like, he just picked at me one time, and it was cool. So
yeah, it wasn't
I took an extra. I took a picture.
I saw you put the picture
and I posted
there,
it up on social media. Well, whoever the fan is that runs Raheel doing things on Instagram, there's an ESPN listener that runs this account of me doing random things.
I thought it was you.
I really did thought it was you.
No, so he somehow, because he gets some pictures from Twitter and then posts it on Instagram. I'm assuming it's a he, because if it was a she, my wife would get mad, so that would be weird. But yeah, I don't know.
So they put the picture up? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they just run this account.
Yeah, because they follow me on Twitter, and I'm like, no, I follow Raheel on Twitter
already. But did you put the picture of your family up? Because I like that one.
No, family stuff is on my private Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't put family stuff on social media.
But I would make the argument that Stephen A. Smith is a bit dated with his style in terms of his suits. It's more
baggy.
Like early 2000s. Yeah. Yes, because they're too baggy.
He'd been doing the zoot suit.
They don't
thing
have
for
the Raheel Nuno cut. You know what I mean?
They don't have the slim cut. He looks like a 2003 first round pick.
100%. Because they're baggy. They're baggy.
Yeah.
Are they coming back? No, it's.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Definitely. Oh, look at the Astros making it a. Putting up a fight.
It's like last night. Instead of getting shut out, you get beat by two less runs. Yeah. I mean, just slow your roll.
It's 8-2, by the way.
I'll tell you this. The other thing that and I remember saying this to several guys when the All-Star game was in town. Shaq had a party and Stephen A. was there. And there were guys that were with us at the time who I knew recently Stephen A. had kind of killed. Mm. And they were like, we better go over and say. I was like, why do y'all want to go over there and say hi and interact when I know that he was busting your chops recently? And they're like, here's the deal. Bottom line is, if I don't go over there, then he's going to use that as something else he can bust my chops for. If I do go over there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He may take it easy on me the next time. So it's playing the game within the game. And that's why he feels like he's like the Don. Like, you got to go over and kiss the ring.
It's weird,
but it's true.
No, I agree. That's why I'm here. I was like, I don't want Nick to kill me in the future, so I'm just here saying
I would
hi.
Never kill you, sir.
Just here. Ever.
But there's a joke there that I'm just going to let fly. I know.
You should
let
it throw slide. It in there. You should throw it in there.
I know. That's an easy joke.
It's easy, but I
if
believe...
John was here, if Granato was here, he would have thrown that out there, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, but that's Granato. That's why. He takes the low-hanging fruit.
Well, he's also the soup ladle of ESPN 97.5. Yeah. If there's any chance that he can stir the pot and then get away from the stove and not catch any of the shrapnel, he's all about
it. What did you guys talk about?
John is... We should just start calling John Teflon John. Because he can get away with anything.
It's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. So Tyler, did you say you found the audio from the Stephen A. Smith
stuff? Legler stuff. Yeah.
Well, let's hear what it sounds like.
Chris Middleton blew the roof off of the building. He released all the pressure. You can't hear me? You got me now? Hello?
It's
an old battery. That phone is like 15 years old.
I got a new phone. Legs.
Your
radio, your computer. I like that. The panic commercial break.
Now, I told Nick this in the break.
I didn't think it was that big a deal.
I think you guys too. Tim Legler takes his business so seriously. I think he had a facelift. If you go back and look at pictures of Tim Legler like 2-3 years ago and you look at this year, it looks like someone pinned his ears back and put his head in a microwave and got it all kind of smoothed out. That could just be me. But he wasn't on the air for quite a while. And then all of a sudden he came back and I was like, oh, Lord, he looks like something happened.
I hope one day I'm on national TV and I have to get a facelift.
That's what your hope is?
That's my hope.
Because that means you've made it?
I've made it and that enough people are sending me hate stuff that like, man, I do look kind of old. So I'm going to have to get this facelift done.
Man.
That's a good life, man. That's a good, a first world problem, right?
Yeah.
That your life is so good that the only thing that you have to worry about is, should I get a facelift or not?
And you think about it, and from the female perspective, females are constantly thinking about from the face to the body attributes. Mm-hmm. If I do this, you know, I've got the chance for this many more years in the business that I could... Someone will pay more attention or...
If you ever want to go down the rabbit hole of human hate and why guys can be disgusting and we're the worst sometimes, go to a national sports female figure and just go to her at mentions. Don't, like, not on her tweets. Just search her name, search her at mentions, and then just check out the stuff that they get.
Well,
like, how do you live? It's nonstop hate. Appearance hate, everything.
We talked about it with Holly Saunders because Holly Saunders recently put out her DMs of what people DM her on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's like they have no filter. They have no scruples. They don't care about the ramifications. They just feel like they're being cool and funny or they're shooting their shot.
With Taron Hilo. Is it Taron or Taron?
Taron Hilo. Taron Hilo, yeah.
And she would report some of them and some of them she wouldn't, but like it's extreme vulgarity. Yeah. Like it's really, really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty
I feel
nice.
Like we kind of go far. People in DMs go real far.
What is she up to now? Because I know she's been on the show with you guys.
Selling bikinis.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got her bikini line. She's been doing a lot. She does some charity work, volunteers. She's hosted some events. She hosted a Christmas event for Alex Bregman. But she said she's going to stop on the show from time to time. So she's got some things working, but she loves the show. So she's going to not sign an exclusive deal with another station like we know what would happen. Because once you start appearing on The Suspects, I mean, people at other stations got to get you to an exclusive.
What's up, Jeff Blum?
Yeah, Jeff Blum, we love you. And look, more power to Blummer because he's getting paid. But
we love Blummer.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody so I'm not Blummer. Mad at him, but I'm mad at others.
You think I could start a male bathing suit line?
No.
Please don't.
And please don't.
Just like good shorts.
Would you tailor your bathing suit like your suits? Would you have your bathing suit tailored ever?
Well, no.
I bet you would consider it.
Well, yes, I believe you're right.
My thing is, if they're not mid-thighs, you might as well wear jeans. Don't wear past mid-thighs.
Yeah, I've seen your shorts.
For a bathing suit?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can't see the quad definition, then you might as well just go in the water with jeans on.
Raheel's mid-thighs and mid-calf.
But Raheel, yeah,
I feel like his mid-thighs are really
leaving you out of this discussion, okay? There are others that you... There may be other variables as to why you can't see the quad definition.
Yeah.
Therefore, you should have the longer shorts. See my point?
That's a fair point. Right. But even then, mid-thighs.
Okay. I just don't look at your shorts long enough to see the quad definition. I just look away really quickly.
Well, bro, it's 2019. It's time we compliment each other. And so I think you have good quad definition. I think you should show it off.
So what you're basically saying is, Nick, if you think about it, it's like looking at a female in, is this fair to say, granny panty bottoms?
Sure.
As opposed to a thong.
Yeah.
You're going to spend more time examining the thong than you are the GPs.
See, look, I'll compliment his like blazer, his suit. That's about as far as I'll go. Shorts.
I don't any of my shorts, like unless they're like home shorts. If I'm out in public, it's mid thigh, mid like that.
Hooping
is a mess.
And everything like that.
Even though I love like Ron Artest level shorts.
No, I know, and I know that's the trend these days. But no, like if I'm getting ready to go to the gym, I'll go Lisa, too short, and she'll be like. Yeah, I gotta have them right at the knee.
When you train, are you the guy like wearing Muay Thai shorts? Yeah. Like,
I have the Houston SaberCats gave me some shorts. Their shorts. Have you ever seen them like playing a match? Their shorts are above mid thigh.
Way, I know.
They're John Stockton.
I love wearing those shorts. Okay, but I wear compression pants on workout gear, so you can't see the thighs there. Right. But still, it's just I don't need extra weight. That extra ounce could be a difference between a steal. Or a turnover.
All right.
He does a really good job of making sure the visual of Raheel never escapes your mind.
Let's reel this back in and get to some basketball.
I'm never going to forget this ever.
Oh, boy.
All right. Check out Raheel every day and on Sports
Map. You might as well stick around because you want to talk hoops. So we'll get one more segment and talk about some hoops, the Rocket Series, and other things. We'll throw some different balls in the air when we come back. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now.
No matter how. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show, rolling along on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you're just tuning in, Barry in El Paso doing some comedy with John Wessling. Therefore, Nicholas has come out from behind the glass, and he is filling in for Barry. Raheel heard his name called, so he's now a full-fledged suspect for the day, as he is joining us as well.
Getting some texts on Raheel's shorts.
Oh, boy.
Let me see a bunch of insecure guys.
Hopefully they're not pictures.
Raheel wants a compliment on his moose knuckle.
No.
What am I missing here?
The moose knuckle's it's an outline of your junk.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what the term was. I'm just... Okay. Yeah.
I don't need a compliment on that.
Just relaying.
I mean, but if you want to pay me a compliment on anything, that's nice. I think we should do more of that in 2019.
Be nicer to people?
Yeah, compliment
each
other.
Pay more compliments? That doesn't work on the usual suspects. Usually we're insulting each other. We're not really giving each other compliments.
Like, I enjoyed the basketball talk we had yesterday, Joel.
I did too.
Yeah.
And we always, but you and I kick it basketball all the time. And Nick's the same way, because I know that Nick's actually covering the team in the locker rooms and stuff like that. So we kick it around. The news of yesterday, last night, that's getting a lot of run around NBA circles outside of the games themselves in the playoffs is Daryl Morey's right-hand man for years, Gerson Rosas, a guy I know very well, and I think you know very well, is going to be the president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, I'll say this. Of the four candidates, I think he's the most ready for the job, because the other three were ex-players, Trajan Langdon, Chauncey Billups, and Kelvin Booth, all ex-players. And I think that, you know, on the surface, you say, well, if you bring in an ex-player, they know the X's and O's and things like that, but you're going to need a capologist and an analytics guy and all these other things. Good for Gerson. It's a hell of a promotion, but I want to remind people of a couple things. One, he got hired to be the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, and it lasted all of
2 days, it felt like.
A couple days, six days, 2 weeks, maybe. Yeah. Other than that, he's only been with the Rockets on two separate occasions. So I'll get your guys' comments, thoughts on it first before I say anything else.
Is this a situation, though, where it just might be better where you don't have the coach making those type of decisions and just let the coach be a coach? Because Tom Thibodeau, that's kind of, you know, he was wearing multiple hats. And that might be what they're looking for right now in Minnesota, whether he's qualified for the job or not. I don't know exactly what you're – I mean – Daryl Morey says he's overqualified. He wished that he went to the East. He's going to be a really tough competitor. But it might be something Minnesota needs, because I don't know if having the head coach making decisions actually worked in that front office.
That's the thing. With Minnesota, it's specific to Minnesota. They went one way. It didn't work out, where they gave one man all the power, and it just didn't work out. It was a bad move. I guess if making the playoffs is your measuring stick, then yeah, it worked out. But I think they anticipated more with that hire of Thibodeau, who's, you know, rest in peace now. With Gerson, though, I think, and Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, that role is more of a managerial role, where making sure everyone's doing the right thing, you're empowering people. But I think it's also a people person job, where you have to put that cap on and make sure business, basketball, everything's working together.
So here are a couple things. The Thibodeau thing, they're going the exact opposite direction. Yeah. They're pulling a 180, because Tibbs had too much control, made too much money. He made about $9 to $11 million a year in the combination job of president of basketball and head basketball coach. He also made all subsequent decisions on the general manager, Scott Layden, and anybody else surrounding the situation in Minnesota. And Glenn Taylor, the owner, felt like, I got fleeced. I gave up a ton of money. I gave up all the control. And you guys remember this. When the trade rumors started happening about Jimmy Butler, the owner finally stepped in and wanted to make a deal, because he just wanted to get a deal done. And Tibbs was not only not going to do the deal, he wasn't going to tell the owner what the deal was or keep him in the loop. So Tibbs was like a control freak, and it didn't work out. Gerson may be the exact opposite. But in terms of your question, there's going to be a butting of the heads between him and Scott Layden. I don't know how much longer Scott Layden can be there, because he was handpicked by Tibbs. He's making $5 a year, I think.
Oh, okay.
So there's still money on the table that the owner's worried about too. Plus, Scott Layden... Frank Layden was a longtime basketball coach and executive in the NBA. Scott Layden's been a general manager several different places before. He knows the league, he knows the X's and O's, and the other side of it. And I think he's going to put Gerson's butt to the fire right away. And I think if Gerson, again, I don't think it's as much of a PR kind of front man as you think. If he's got to make decisions, he's got a tough one right out of the gate, because he's going to have to decide what to do with a Thibodeau guy in Scott Layden.
Yeah. And look, Gerson's one of those guys where you meet him, for me at least, in the time that I covered the team, and just knowing him a little bit on a personal level, he's a guy that gets along with a lot of people.
Absolutely.
He's a very friendly person, and he's an understanding person. So It will be interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm happy for him. You know, good for him.
It's a great opportunity for him.
Now, you're right. He has some tough decisions to make.
Yeah, so, and I think it starts there. And then he's got some real tough decisions from a personnel department because you've got – you maxed out a guy in Andrew Wiggins that now looking at it, I'm not – he and his agent, I'm sure, were saying they could have got a max deal from several other places. I'm not sure that's the case.
Yeah, and going back to that little communication factor that you were talking about between Coach Tibbs and the owner, Glenn Taylor, at the time, because that was right around the time the rumors of the Rockets potentially giving up four first-round picks for Jimmy Butler, and he knew that he wasn't going to be around for that. It didn't make sense for him to give up Jimmy Butler, his best player, for like a rebuilding type of team because he knew he wasn't going to be around there, and that's probably where some of the lack of communication stemmed from. This might be a good opportunity for Minnesota to eliminate that and start fresh with how do you pronounce his name again?
Gerson Rosas.
Gerson's awesome, man. Good dude. Did you see what happened with the Rockets also yesterday on Instagram?
No. What?
The Manimal, Kenneth Faried, he posted a picture and he said, "Unleash the Manimal."
He wants more playing time.
So he's making the statement.
He's like, "Hey,
where are you on that?" Because like I've told Nick, sources inside and outside and around this series and this whole situation have said that the Rockets didn't plan on playing Faried the entire series because they felt like he couldn't defend and he couldn't stick with all the multi-talented players of the Warriors. I completely disagreed, and Nick and I were kicking it around quickly saying, you need energy. If this is going to be a close game, it could be decided by hustle plays, loose balls, one possession. And you know what? He's athletic enough that he could do a better job than Nene.
That's the thing. It's not like the other two options have worked. Capella hasn't worked on the perimeter either.
And Faried may not either.
Yeah, at least give me a try, right? Let's see what I can do. Austin Rivers was great offensively. He was excellent in game two. He was piss poor defensively in game two. And it's fine. It's because you're doing something else that can make up for it, right? And I think Kenneth Faried's rebounding and energy, as you mentioned, especially when you're trying to beat out the Warriors who keep getting offensive rebounds on you, give me a shot of that. At least let me try it. More than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, second chance points, maybe they may not have capitalized on every offensive rebound and every second chance opportunity in the regular season, but in the playoffs, this might be a time to do it. I would love to see Kenneth Faried in there because at the end, you know what? I'm afraid it's going to take a situation where you start playing Nene early, you play him too much, he gets hurt, then you're forced to play Faried, and by then it's too late. I'm completely with you. I want to see Faried on the floor mainly because of the lack of rebounding that you've seen in the series. I just don't know if Mike D'Antoni is going to make that decision.
But it's also the energy level because you're talking about a team that has been getting beat in loose ball situations, in 50-50 balls, in opportunities to, you know, like you said, offensive rebounding more than just rebounding. It's all about offensive rebounds and second possessions on the offensive end, and they haven't been getting those either. And the other thing that I said to Nick and Barry is, look, bottom line is you got to get a situation where instead of being reactive to everything the Warriors are doing and then trying to make sure you can stay with them, be proactive and make the Warriors guard you. So maybe if Capella's not working out and you guys are talking about a rebound situation, maybe go through a short stint where you put Capella and Faried in the game together and say, now, Golden State, you got all kinds of problems in terms of controlling the boards and from an energy standpoint. See what they do. Force them to change personnel. Maybe it changes tempo. Maybe it puts it more in your favor. But what you're doing right now is not working.
I agree with you. And, you know, I think offensively, look, it's ISO ball, they're an ISO heavy team. That's what they do. They'll run a set, and if it doesn't work, you're going to ISO ball. If they're going to go ISO ball that early, at least try some kind of action before, just to open it up. I mean, like the perfect example, the first bucket James had, they ran a simple pick and roll, and Iguodala didn't switch. But you know what happened? Iguodala's hips opened up. James got to the hole.
Gave him a spot.
Get something going. Not just, hey, we're going ISO. And there's going to be no other action with this. That's the frustrating part offensively as well. You're right. They got to be more proactive and less reactive. This is going to be interesting. Game three is going to be fun.
And game three is going to be, I think, the decider in the series. This could go a while if they get game three, but it's going to be over real quick. They're going to fold up their tents and go home if it doesn't. And the last thing you need is Faried stirring it up a little bit on social media. So, all right, we appreciate you stopping in, my
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure to have Raheel join us on the show. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. If you're looking to do something different with your roof, maybe you want to put a new roof on your house or you got a leak somewhere and you want to get it fixed, well, I'm telling you, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing, FITZRoofing.com, or you can call them 832-521-3001. Unlike all these other storm chasers and deposit thieves and sketchy roofers that are out there, when you're talking about the people at Fitz Fitz Roofing, locally owned, locally operated. They are only focused on the people in the Houston community. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, and more important than any of that, if you call them, 832-521-3001, you get a free, no-obligation inspection today. That means they come out, see what you got, and tell you what they can do, then they go away. If you want them to come back, get in touch with them again, they come back, they do fantastic work. They're a CertainTeed shingle company. That means they use nothing but the best product, CertainTeed shingles, and they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company with only 1% of the roofers in the U.S. getting that criteria. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer than your average roofer. Again, check them out, FitzRoofing.com, or call them 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Look at me. Know what to see? See a bad mug.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the big show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city on a Thursday. Nick and I have already conspired with a pretty good idea for tomorrow for FEF Friday and our Comedian of the Week. We'll get to that at some point. We were talking with Raheel last segment, who joined us on his own choice for two segments because
you
heard his name. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate it. We were talking Rockets.
We were.
And we were kicking around where the series is, where the series is, where it goes, and what to look for. And
Game 3 on Saturday.
Yep.
Rockets lost the first two.
By the way, James Harden, no cornea damage. Vision returning to normal. He said he's still in a lot of pain. Based on his over-exuberant reactions and squintiness and all the other stuff, I'm sure he wants you to believe he's in a boatload of pain. He'll be fine.
I've scratched my cornea before.
Okay.
I slept with my contact, and then when I pulled out, you know, I took out my contact, I scratched my cornea.
I don't know where you're going with pulled out, but at
still,
least it was a
still worked. Still came to work the next day. I played injured.
Boy, you are a
didn't
team
use
player.
The cornea
team
as an excuse. Just saying.
Player.
Had no problem going to work with a scratched cornea from my contact.
Okay.
It was no big deal at all.
Sweet.
So I think James Harden can do the same.
Okay.
But we had a tweet that said, who was it? It was from Juan, I think. No, Ivan.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on T-Mac's stance of taking Capella out and throwing Rivers in the starting lineup instead? You shut your mouth.
I mean,
I'm just joking.
The thing that I just got done saying is you got to be proactive instead of being reactive. And I think that if you start Rivers, it's like you're trying to be reactive to the Hampton 5 starting lineup. Instead
right.
of saying what I said last segment, which was, if you want to be proactive, okay, let's really clog up the paint, and let's also make Golden State have to make some personnel adjustments, and let's go with Capella and Fareed up front, or Capella, you know, let's go Fareed and PJ Tucker up front. Now you've got two athletic, one is a little bit stronger and thicker, the other one is a guy with long reach that's athletic and hyperactive jumping, and they could cause the Warriors to have problems. Instead of going so small that it now plays into the Warriors' hands, because now Draymond Green, who would be undersized against Capella or maybe even a PJ Tucker, now Draymond Green is going, I'm bigger than any guy that Houston's putting out there. I'm good.
But as the basketball coach, would you consider it, or would you pull the trigger on that lineup?
I mean, I'm at this point, if you're the Rockets, you have to consider everything. Everything's on the table, because if you go down 0-3, it's over.
Right.
So you and your staff get together and you kick around potential lineup changes. I wouldn't pull the trigger on that.
And that's part of the reason why I brought up this tweet by Ivan, because if you're Coach D'Antoni and you've always been a guy that kind of sticks to your mentality, sticks to your approach, you've lost games 1 and 2 on the road. Isn't there a part of you that says, you know what? Yeah, our approach didn't necessarily work in games 1 and 2, but maybe it works in game three when we're at home. And maybe that's why he's not, you know, he's reluctant to change that approach, because he still hasn't tried that approach at home in game three. Or do you think he should just go ahead and play with it now? Because you never know. If you get 2-3 shots from Eric Gordon early, from behind, from long range. Mm-hmm. And you get a couple, maybe two, three, four alley-oops going from Harden to Capella early. I think those two things alone is a huge confidence booster. And, oh, by the way, Clint Capella didn't do terrible on the boards because he hasn't been doing okay on the boards. He's just been doing bad.
I'm not touching Eric Gordon, by the way. If I make any lineup change, I'm going to...
Right, you leave him in there, 100%.
Yeah, so here's what I'm thinking. If you want to pull Capella, then I'd put Fareed in there. Because you remember now, when Capella was out, Fareed put up almost the same numbers. But here's the thing. From a perimeter defensive standpoint, he's more athletic. He's quicker. He may even be stronger. And you can tell me that from seeing him in the locker room. But the most important thing about all that, too, is that he's athletic enough to recover from a speed perspective if he's on the perimeter and a guy makes a move to the basket. So now you've got PJ Tucker, who can go to Green. And you can even put a Fareed, even if he gets in foul trouble, so what? You've got Capella on the bench. You've got other options. But if they start, if it's effective and they start getting rebounds and then those rebounds lead to transition and the Rockets get into their game, which is playing a little quicker and getting out on the break, which is where they're at their best. Now Golden State's on their heels and they go, wait a minute, we got to go to Looney. We got to get some people in here that can slow Fareed or slow their breakdown, and their bigs are getting it started. That's what I would consider more than Austin Rivers. Because here's the other thing you got to remember. When Harden went out, if they don't have Austin Rivers, they get blown out.
Right. I tend to agree. The only problem is, and it's basically what Raheel said in the last segment, Austin Rivers did really good offensively in game two, but he was basically gone from a defensive standpoint. What did we say about him before? Well, he didn't really produce from an offensive standpoint, but he had really good defense. And I feel like you're going to get one or the other out of Austin.
And not both?
And I don't know if you want to put a guy like that.
So here's my question to you then. Okay, say you're open to that, and you get so.
But how are you going to put a guy like that in the starting lineup though?
Well, I'm asking you, who are you sitting? First of all, let's say this: you want to put Austin Rivers. Let's consider you're going to put Austin Rivers in the starting lineup. Who's going out?
See, that's tough because I'm tempted to say Gordon, even though there's no way I would let Gordon out of that starting lineup.
You need his
lineup.
Offense. You absolutely have to have his offense and his shooting.
So you got to leave Paul. You got to leave Harden. You got to leave Gordon.
Those three are in.
PJ Tucker?
It's either Tucker or Capella. All right? And then remember this. Whoever he takes out, I'm going to give you a clue. Whoever you tell me you're taking out, my next question is going to be, who's he guarding? Because that's what's going to be the most effective, the easiest way for you to answer this question for me. Because if you put him in the lineup and say you take Capella out or PJ Tucker, then my question is, who's he guarding? Because someone's got to guard Draymond Green. So for me, that means whichever one you take out takes him. But that also means if he takes Curry, right, then you've got to put Harden on KD. If you feel like Harden's a defensive liability enough that you just want him to stick with Steph, which has been the case, okay, then you ask, well, who's guarding Clay and who's guarding KD? Clay would have a size advantage, and he's proven to be pretty effective with Austin Rivers on him last game. KD continues to be KD because no matter who you put on him, the size advantage is still there, the post-up ability is still there, and KD becomes the one unguardable force in this series.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. See, you have to get Mike D'Antoni on board with everything that you're saying, but you're right. I would be tempted. I'm not saying this is the right move, but I would be tempted if I'm Coach D'Antoni to not change that starting lineup. And how about Eric Gordon? Is him being in the starting lineup a product of him supposed to be that it's the best chance that you have with him in the starting lineup, or is he going to be upset for not being in the starting lineup because you know he's always wanted to start?
You can't worry about it at this point because he gives you the best chance to beat the Golden State Warriors. Maybe not against every team in the league, but when you need every single position of the five guys on the floor to be able to score the basketball to some degree, and you need at least three of them to score in bunches to kind of combat what you're going to get from the Warriors and their big three scorers, he's got to be on the floor. I said this at the start of the series. I said this with Raheel on SportsMap on the videos. He's their X factor. He's the guy that has to get going for them to have a chance. So that's why you can't touch him. The other reason why I wouldn't worry about his feelings is because when we talk about decisions that D'Antoni has to make, there's no guy on the hot seat more, and it's only going to get hotter than Mike D'Antoni.
So even after the recent extension?
No doubt. Because you know why? Because Tillman still wants results. He said he doesn't mind going over the salary cap if his team is getting to the point.
Yeah, he did say that. He
or
did
further.
Say that. Yeah.
If they lose this series, Nick, they didn't get further. And here's the other thing. When you think about it, you didn't have any injuries this year. So there's another...
But you faced the Warriors around earlier, though.
But you know what? The Warriors had a longer series. They were vulnerable in that series, and everybody said they were right for the picking, and that gets back to what we were talking about. Did you make enough moves, and did you have the balls to make enough decisions to give you a chance to shake it up and have the Warriors on their heels? And if you get swept or it's a quick series, I don't think it's going to sit very well, and I think it's going to be a tough offseason for D'Antoni.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, so we'll continue to kick it around. That was just a little Rockets talk for you. Plenty more on the agenda to get to, and if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we are here for you as well. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. And by the way, you don't have to listen to anything else because the Astros just lost again. 8-2 to the Twins. They lose the series in Minneapolis. Day off tomorrow. We'll talk to you in just a few minutes right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, kicking it around. In hour number two, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You taking us on the go is always appreciated, as we are the number one sports station in the city of Houston, Texas. We do have the top four shows sports related in the city of Houston, Texas. I firmly put that all on the shoulders of you and AJ. Way to go, guys.
Tyler and AJ. AJ Hoffman, Tyler Scott.
I'm a humble guy, so I won't take credit for it.
Well, then we all know AJ will take all of it then. So with that being said, we're back here on the show. We've been kicking around a lot of topics. One of the other ones, we had mentioned the Redskins, their GM Bruce Allen and Stephen A.
Yeah.
Hacking up some names and things like that. And, of course, the controversy that goes with it, with the fact that everybody in New York seemed to want Haskins to be taken by the Giants if they were going to take a quarterback at 6. They didn't. They took Jones. The Redskins, who desperately needed a quarterback on the cheap, because of the fact that they still have to pay Alex Smith, but after the injury in the Texans game, looks like his career may be over, but definitely he ain't playing this year. And Haskins falls into the Redskins' lap. We saw the interviews, too, during the draft and after. Haskins wasn't happy. He was basically putting the league on notice that he was going to make sure that everybody's going to regret not taking him. But in the process, we all remember that at Ohio State, he wore number 7. He's now a member of the Washington Redskins. And for those of you old enough to be me, Nick... and maybe not you, number 7 is a legendary number in the history of the Washington Redskins in the fact that Joe Theismann wore that number. It is right. Not currently retired, but it's on a hold list of former players.
It's not retired?
I don't believe it's retired.
I thought it was, because no one's worn the number
right.
since.
I was going to say, there's a hold list of several of the prominent Redskins over the years that they are holding on to with thoughts of probably retiring them someday. But a lot of franchises kind of kick this around. Like, especially in football, you have so many numerals. There's only so many numerals. And if you start retiring from different generations, and say you retire some guy from the 40s, and then some guy in the Hall of Fame from the 60s.
Right.
All of a sudden, these start adding up. And now we're getting into the 2000s and the 2010s. And all of a sudden, you're going to go, well, Sean Taylor. And then you start going down the list. And all of a sudden, you start running out of numbers. So that's why you see the Cowboys, the Packers, they put rings of honor. So your name and the number you wore is in the ring of honor. But even look at the Steelers. The one that always gets me is I look at the Steelers games, and I see guys wearing Lynn Swann's number and John Stallworth's number and all these famous legendary Steelers. And I'm going, how can they allow that? But when you think about it, football's worse than like the Celtics, who was the worst case in the NBA where they've retired so many numbers.
Right.
And Yankees.
Exactly,
like
Tyler. Yes.
1 through 10.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. No, the Yankees do not have any single digit numbers left. That's why the pitcher from the Rockies, Onivero, that went there this year.
Yeah.
He got 0. It was the first time ever in the history of the Yankees someone wore a single digit 0 as their number. But that's because Yankees, Celtics, legendary franchises that didn't get into this whole just retire the name and the ring of honor, they're running out of numbers. That's why all the Celtics guys wear crazy bogus numbers. Like Shaq had to wear, Shaq wore 36, but you got guys wearing 77 and all kinds
it's
of crazy numbers.
Probably just going to have to get to that. Like it's going to get to like three digits eventually.
But the thing with football is like certain numbers mean certain players. So until they take that away, then
yeah,
I mean, and that's probably why they're doing numbers. You got running back.
That's right. That's exactly right. Positionally, those numbers have meaning.
So until they are able to find a system or maybe just take those position designations away, then it's going to be a bigger problem in the NFL.
So Dwayne Haskins he really wanted to wear number 7.
So he does the classic thing because he wore 7 with Ohio State. He picks up the phone. He calls Joe Theismann. He asks permission to wear the number. And just basically, I'm sure he just went in with an open mind, but thought, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I would obviously love to wear my number. Obviously, people have reasons for why they wear a certain number. Theismann was all for it. Theismann was like, hey, the young man was gracious enough to call me. He asked if he could wear it. I'm all for it. I think it's fine. I think he's going to be a great player. I hope it does well for him, whatever. Well, a few miles away in New York,
106.7 The Fan.
A guy named Tony doesn't exactly agree with the decision.
In D.C.
Well, it was in D.C. Okay.
Yeah, it was a caller.
So a caller from New York. He had a New York accent, but he's calling in the radio station in D.C. He lost his mind about this decision by Joe Theismann, and it sounded a little something like this.
Let's go to Tony in Long Island. Hey, Tony.
Tony.
Guys, how are you?
Good, buddy.
This is why the Redskins are the Redskins. The numbers should be retired, and it's really not that complicated, okay? You put Joe Theismann, who was a Super Bowl MVP and the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl for this franchise, where he's got to take a call from a mid-first-round pick asking for his number. That is buffoonery. Okay? Nobody can call up the New York Yankees and ask them for Mickey Mantle's phone number or Mickey Mantle's number because he's Mickey Mantle.
Because he's dead.
Okay? The reality is nobody should be wearing Monty Coleman's number, Darryl Green's number, Art Monk, Gary Clark, Dave Butts, Joe Jacoby, Russ Grimm. Retire these numbers and honor them properly. They are the only men to wear this uniform and give us joy and satisfaction, and then we had to face 30 years of misery. And now this mid-first-round pick is taking our numbers? Sean Taylor is dead. Honor the man. He was a franchise player. We shouldn't be giving that number to a New York Giants safety. Let him earn it. Let these guys get on the field and earn it. Put on different numbers. That's my take, guys. Sorry I had to be so loud.
Don't you apologize to me, Tony.
First of all, let's be honest. Patrick Creighton called the Washington radio station.
I was just going to say.
We are all going to make that same joke.
Let's just be honest with that. But here's the thing. So he's calling out. No one's calling Mickey Mantle because he's dead. Okay, first and foremost.
Yeah, that part was funny.
But secondly, when you think about it too, it's exactly what we just got done saying. You only have so many numbers. The numbers are used to identify position groups on the field by the officiating staff and everybody else. And I'm glad he knows. He referenced Dave Butts, for God's sake. But, I mean, he's referencing all these guys, whether they should be retired or not. Okay, but what's the big deal? I mean, so the other thing he's referencing too is Landon Collins, the Giants safety that signed with the Redskins.
Right.
He was a huge fan of Sean Taylor's. He wanted to wear Sean Taylor's number, and one of Sean Taylor's best friends the running back, help me please, the running back for the Redskins forever, that Clinton Portis, who also played with him in college, was like, no, that ain't happening, bro. And then I guess Sean Taylor wore two different numbers. I think he wore 36 as well as his initial number, which was
21.
21, yeah. Right. So I think – so then he's like, well, I'm just going to wear the 36 that he wore for – I guess there was two stints or something like that. Something happened. But that was a big deal with a lot of people. I get the Sean Taylor thing, but you can't ask Sean Taylor either, right, because he's passed away.
Right.
But if Joe Theismann gives his okay – I mean, this was something that was discussed when the Rockets were in a lot of discussions for a lot of different players when 23 came into the mix. And some guys were like, if I come play with the Rockets, I still want to wear 23. And it was like, hey, That's Calvin Murphy's number. But if you want to work it out with Murph and Murph's cool with it, fine. But otherwise, that's Murph's decision. So if the, even if the number was retired, if Theismann says it's okay, seven still can stay up in the rafters in Redskins lore, but he can wear it too.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that if Joe is okay with that. And at some point, they're going to just have to do that. I mean, look, just like you said, it represents certain positions. There's only so many numbers. They're going to eventually have to take this approach. I'm okay with it as long as Joe Theismann is okay with it. And you're right. If the guy's obviously, if the guy passed away, you can't ask him. So I'm okay with it. I can see why an old school guy would call into a radio station screaming at the top of his lungs out of his respect for Theismann or for a particular player that he has, that he, you know, he's watched over the years. But I have no problem with it as long as Joe's cool with it. So
late hits became early takes. They called up a different show.
We had like two texts say the same thing.
They
about
got
Patrick
geared up
Creighton.
And ready for late so nights funny. On ESPN 97.5.
It was literally while the audio clip was playing.
You know what's funny? Like those guys, like Creighton and that guy.
Yeah.
They might actually have the same exact take. Like, he might have the same take tonight.
You know what I was going to say? Flip the teams. If the guy was talking Giants instead of talking Redskins, then it was Creighton to a T. All right, there you go. A little guest appearance by Patrick Creighton. Raheel's been on. We're just getting everybody on during the Usual Suspects. Barry's in El Paso doing comedy. It's a cast of thousands doing the show today. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.